my hat off towards my side. You got a migraine, I got a side.
Oh man, it's starting to get bad in here. Okay, we're on? Everybody's here? Okay, we'll call to order the December meeting for the Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission. The first item on the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Move. Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is the adoption of the minutes from our November 5th meeting. So just want to take a minute and look at that. Is there a motion to approve the minutes or adopt the minutes?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next item is public comments. Is there anybody on the phone for public comments?
No.
Nope. Okay. Hearing no public comments, we'll move on to agenda item number 5.
Chairman.
Yes.
Can we, the minutes reflect who's participating remotely?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yeah. Who's participating?
Tony.
Okay.
No, Tony's not on the call.
No. Tony's not on the call?
No.
Do we have any HPC members?
No, just Jim. I mean, John Batson is on the call.
Okay, so we have four members present. So we do have a quorum, yes, okay. So Tony is not present, okay. All right, old business, revised designation report incorporating the SWCA portions. Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and take the lead on this. As everybody knows, we had this original report and recommendation that was approved and then forwarded to the town council. And basically that was back in March, if I remember right. And that was to then forward the designation report to the state for comments as per what was required. And we had about five different items related to that. One is to have us continue our work and so forth. That was back in March. Again, we got back the feedback from the state. We then decided to go ahead and hire the consultant. I'm sure everybody realizes the consultant then gave us her SWCA gave us her comments, and what I did over the last couple days was then incorporate her comments into this particular report, basically as a cut and paste. And I put them in the areas that I thought would be most appropriate and made most sense for those particular items. There are three basic items. One is that she had put together a little bit of the history for Curie Beach. There was also an integrity statement. And then there was the architectural narrative statement. So there are the three statements right there. I did separate the kind of historical from the other two elements in terms of this revision. And I also included the original report had two parts. We had the designation report that was then forwarded to the town council. And then we had the work done by the intern, which described the history and so forth. And I called that part one and part two in my email to everybody yesterday. So anyway, I did incorporate that, but as I was incorporating that, I realized that it also had to be updated to what we're doing right now. And so I made a number of changes, very, very simple changes, and also put a little bit about the history of what we've done since March, since this report was written in March. And that is basically where we're at right now. So this is now incorporating the SWCA material, as well as trying to update it to December versus what it was back in March. And I believe probably the attorney wants to go ahead and make a few comments because he's squirming over there.
See this map.
Not fair.
Hmm? No, this does not include the map because I didn't get the JPEG versions of it. And the two things I was a little concerned about, there might still be some typos. I did a lot of formatting on it. There might still be a little bit of a few typos in there. I didn't see any, but I didn't incorporate the two new maps that were provided because I didn't have the JPEG version. And I was kind of guessing on the months when certain things happened. So, you know, if we can go ahead and clean those up. But go ahead.
The first thing I want to say is I think everybody owes you a debt of gratitude. You really rolled up your sleeves. I mean, in addition to serving at, on the board, you're actually doing some of the work here with the guidelines, and that's pretty remarkable.
So well, thank you.
I appreciate that. Speaking for myself, I acknowledge that. I'm going to...
But now comes the however.
No however. I am going to suggest some syntactical revisions, and I'm going to give you some examples why. And I'm going to walk through just a few of these so that you get the flavor. I don't want you to misconstrue the first point that I'm going to make, but on the title page, not the title page, but the next page where you list the commission and the building inspection department, even though I'm referenced therein, I think it'd be appropriate to list me as the town attorney on this page.
Okay.
Not puff of that, I just think that's appropriate.
Okay.
If you go to the next page, which is page 3.
This is the background?
Yeah.
Okay.
Throughout page 3, page 4, page 5, until we get to the land use plans where I don't think there's any changes necessary. That's purely syntax, and I'll give you some examples. We call it, those pages call the historic district, historic district, Curie Beach Historic District, Curie Beach Historic Overlay District. Back in the beginning, we shortened it to district, and I think we just, in legal documents, it works really well if you stick with one, if you're going to identify something, stick with that same formulation throughout. So I'd like to clean that up.
Okay.
I'd also like to remove...
Can I stop there? Because I think that raises an important issue that we had a conversation that I believe that we also talked about, and that is that I believe that a couple of the folks were interested in maybe considering a different name for the historic district because the word historic conjures up an image that we are not necessarily following in the sense of a historic. And so you and I had a couple email discussions about that there are, in fact, and I did check all the historic districts in the state of North Carolina, and there are a few that do not call themselves historic district. The vast majority do. Call them historic districts. And so one option is to continue calling ourselves just the Curie Beach Downtown Historic District. We could call it the Historic District, the B1 Historic District. I suggest maybe calling it the Historic and Preservation District or Overlay District, but we need to probably decide for that reason exactly what we want to call this.
I didn't print those emails. The last one, I came back and said I can live with that. You had some very specific language. Can you?
I think it was the
Curie Beach Downtown Preservation.
Why don't people talk, and I'll see if I can find the email.
Yeah, because I thought the way you formulated it was perfect.
Okay, let me see if I can find the email here. But
yeah, I think the thing we don't want it to be building that people conjure up that they're all Victorian, you know, buildings and things like that. Where since it's more of a
I think the
philosophy.
He's come up with a very good alternative that I'm comfortable with, and if he can find that, we'll see if the commission agrees on that.
The point is, though, it needs to be consistent throughout the entire document.
Right.
Well, my point was, yes, one of the main syntactical revisions I want to do is to use key terms and use them consistently throughout the report. I used an example there, which triggered a light bulb in the chairman's mind. And so the second issue we're dealing with right now is whether we're going to change the name, whether we're going to recommend a different name for the
And then use that consistently throughout the report, yeah. What I had suggested based upon our conversations was the Curie Beach Downtown Preservation and Historic District.
Yeah, I think that, to me, that
is... It's long, but it says what it's... Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Richardson, what was that?
I said it's a little long, but I think it captures what we're trying to get.
So it has the word historic in it because you thought that was important, but also the preservation is really what we're trying to do. So
what do the other members feel about that name?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
It's fine. It's not really any longer than the downtown Curry Beach Historic Overlay District.
So if it's okay with the commission, what I'll do is we'll call ourselves now the Curry Beach Downtown Preservation Historic District, and I will go ahead and do a substitute for all that.
Well, I'm going to suggest that the next round of revisions that I perform those, and I can do that.
Okay, well, that's fine. And I did forward to Beth the Word version of it, so you can forward that on. So, okay.
So again, pages 1 through 7. Curry Beach Downtown Preservation and Historic District, correct?
Curry Beach Downtown Preservation and Historic District.
All right, so we got that. Now, if you turn to page 7, this is where I had a question. At the top, you tell me if you all are on the same page. Historical and cultural significance, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Turn to page 17. And we have, in a slightly different format, another statement of historic and cultural significance. Most of it's the same, but there are some key differences. For example, the second statement of historic and cultural significance has a whole feature on Fort Fisher battles, where the one that is in the beginning of the report doesn't. So my question, obviously, we got a formatting glitch. One of these needs to go. Which is April's and which is the old one?
Okay, the summary statement should be identical because that was cut and paste.
All right, look at page 7.
Okay.
Summary statement. Look at page 17, summary statement.
Right.
They're identical. Okay. Wait. What I'm pointing out is we have two, we're going to call them statements. Statement of historic and cultural significance. They show it, that which constitutes several pages. These several pages almost verbatim show up twice
yes.
in this report. So one of them needs to go.
Well, let me kind of back away. There's actually what I call part A and part B. There's actually two documents embedded in here. This, you know, one is the report and recommendation for the designation, which takes us through page 14. Then we have another document, which is the historic district research. There are actually two separate documents embedded in this one document.
I want you to get page 7 and page 17.
I got it right in front of me.
And while we're talking about that, Frank, because I did have a question when I was reading through this, and I did notice all the redundancy. But then we have a title page, like halfway through, we have a title page about a research paper. And that page number one of that is actually page 15. Like, do you want to start the numbering again? I got really confused about, like, why do you have a...
This is based upon the template that was provided to us by the state. Okay, what they do is they have a designation report and recommendation here, and then they do the research. And so this is what was provided in the template. So we have actually two documents within this particular document, you know, if you will.
I think we can correct things like that as we polish up this report.
But what I did is I simply cut and paste because I thought it was important that we have the summary statement by SWCA in the first part, which is the report and recommendation, without going into all of the detail about the fort and all that sort of thing.
I totally agree, but that's not the point I'm making.
Okay, I'm missing the point then.
A couple points. I want people to get 7 and 17 in front of them at the same time.
Okay.
If you look at 7, you'll see that the top paragraph is a statutory citation, okay?
Yes.
If you look at 17, that's missing. No, that's fine. Now, I want you to look at the summary statement on 7, that paragraph heading. Summary statement shows up verbatim on 17. Go to the third paragraph, early history. Go to 17, that's the second paragraph, verbatim. Go to the next paragraph on 7, the late 19th century. Go to the next paragraph on 17, the late 19th century. This verbatim redundancy goes on throughout these pages, and I'm sure it's a formatting glitch, because I'm sure you don't intend to have three pages that say exactly the same thing twice in the same document.
Well, actually I did. That was my intention.
I think, personally, I think it's better to eliminate the redundancy and just run with one of them in the correct place.
Okay, well then, what I would suggest then, if you want to eliminate the redundancy, I did that on purpose.
Okay.
Because there are technically kind of two sub-parts to this particular report, and I thought that the statement from the SWCA was a good lead-in into the more detailed description about the battles of Fort Fisher and all that sort of thing. But I also felt that we needed some history in the designation report, Part A. If the commission feels that you don't want the redundancy, I would suggest taking the summary statement component out of this Part B.
Well, what I would suggest is the statement of historic and cultural significance that starts on page 17. I would move that whole section, which I think runs through runs through page 29. I would suggest taking 17 through 29 and substituting it for pages 7 and whatever the end page is. I'd get rid of the first one and plug in the second one where the first one is right now. That's what I would do.
I mean, I personally wouldn't have a problem if we combine this kind of part one and part two. I think that's awkward anyway.
I think we're just going to make this one document.
Just one document, and which is perfectly fine.
And that goes to Kathleen's point as well,
yeah.
I think.
Yes.
So that's what I wanted to do. So again, I'm suggesting that 17 through 29 move up and replace
page 7 to 9.
7 through 13. Something like that.
7 through 9.
7 through 9, not 13. Because that, okay. Yeah, 7 through 9, because then we go into urban design significance and stuff.
So that's my main point about the report. I'd like to correct some of the syntax, run it through. Also want to get away from revised. I would suggest an initial draft, then it went to the state. Now we have the current draft. I don't read.
That's fine.
Okay. So that's the things, those are the changes I would like to make on it, if you all agree.
I'd like to ask another question then. So if we're going to move that bulk of the writing to the part one, then we look at what's left of part two, and we have the research, and we'll have that one page 16, and then it goes right to inventory, and that's about the extent of the research.
Yep. Basically, the part two would just be the inventory then.
Yeah, I don't know that we need part one and part two. I think we need to move things where they go and make it a unified document throughout and flow into the inventory, which finishes the report.
That's fine, but everybody should realize that the template we were given by the state shows it in the way that we have it here. Because we follow the template very, very carefully. But I have no problem with that, because it is awkward.
I agree with it. This simplifies it. You get rid of that divider page in the middle.
Right.
And you put things where they need to be, and it ends with the inventory, and it's one thin document.
I have no problem with that.
Because I think you did a great job. The substance, I don't have any comment at all about the substance, but I found the formatting for lack of a better word, the redundancy, confusing. That's what led to my comments, which I think is illustrative of the fact that perhaps it is. So if I could eliminate something, move something over, and unify it, I think we'd have a stronger report.
I certainly have no problem making it one document rather than kind of a part A, part B like it is right now.
How about if I make the changes and let you review them, and then we can add? I think it's enough changes that a I'm not sure. I think the changes are significant enough that I'm not sure conditional approval subject to the attorney's revisions would be. I wonder if you want to put this back on the agenda for next month to finalize and move forward.
How does that then mess up our timeline that we talked about last time?
I don't know that we really agreed on a timeline per se because of, I don't remember what the circumstances were, but.
I'm comfortable with moving forward. You're not really changing any content other than changing the page layout type thing or the that and tidying up the title.
So you're comfortable approving it subject to the final set of revisions?
I would say so.
As we've defined it, which is not changing content.
On our timeline, we have for December that HPC continues discussion of and possibly adopts guidelines. And then in January, we had an HPC public hearing on design guidelines. So I don't think we're going to be ready for that, right?
If we adopt it.
Assuming hypothetically that you all will adopt it subject to the final set of revisions, let's look at page 5 for a minute. Recommendations. Following a series of duly noticed and assembled public meetings, HPC during its December 2nd regular meeting voted to approve, and I'm going to call it the designation report, not the revised designation report, and forward it to town council with the following recommendations: that the proposed amendments to designate the, and I'm going to, you covered this earlier, but I'm going to drafted by staff and then reviewed by PZC and then I'm comfortable with those recommendations on 5. So if you, it doesn't matter to me if you want to approve it subject to the final set of revisions so that we stick to what's written here, that's fine. I can live with that.
I don't think we're making any major revisions.
I agree. There's nothing substantial here.
It's a format layout.
Actually, it's what we did the first go around.
Right. So it's a layout change or a format change.
So I'll make the changes and let the chairman see it, and we'll finalize it. But if you all go ahead and do what you want to do about approving it tonight, and directing staff to prepare the amendments for PZC to review. Before we get to that and make that part of your motion or have a second motion, that doesn't matter to me. I'm fuzzy today because I got a sinus infection. When are we considering, I didn't go back and look at my memo, when are we thinking PCC is going to review and report on the proposed text amendments? January
would be, if we adopt this tonight subject to the revisions, it would be a January review for the by the P&Z.
That's fine. And I don't remember, did we talk about a public hearing? Of course,
council will have the public
hearing.
Your
timeline has it for February that council will call the public meeting.
Well, in January, they'll fix the February date, and then they'll have
the public hearing.
They'll have the public hearing in February.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's looking like.
But they can't act on the text amendments until the next month because of the COVID written comments provision.
Right.
That's fine. That's what I'll do.
So there's two motions. Would you like to make the motion about adopting the resolution or the report and recommendation subject to the...
I'll make a motion to adopt the report and recommendation subject to the formatting changes and layout as discussed this evening, and that staff and chairman can review it.
Okay, I'll second that. Any further discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The second motion is to direct staff to prepare the appropriate text amendment for review by Planning and Zoning Commission in their January meeting. Is there a second to that?
Second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you.
The PZC will review in January, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Appreciate that.
The second item, which is more open for discussion, is that I did a first cut, as I promised last time, on trying to get some preliminary design guidelines. I think everybody recognized that the Department of Interior's guidelines were not appropriate to just go ahead and adopt. For us, it had to be more specific to the district and to Curie Beach. So what I did is I took that template, basically, by the Secretary of Interior and looked at a couple other things that I found and then tried to put together a preliminary set of guidelines that might work as a first cut adoption before we go ahead and hire somebody to put together a very complex set of guidelines. We did get a quote back from SWCA.
A good quote.
$30,000. Okay. I don't know if she understood that we're just looking for a two-page one or what, but you know, when I saw $30,000, I figured that wasn't going to fly.
That sounds like a lost leader.
Right. So we are in a situation where if we're going to have design guidelines, we're going to have to do it ourselves at this point. And so that's what I've attempted to do, is put together a preliminary set of design guidelines. And hopefully everybody did get that. And it should be... Now, one of the things I did not do, because I noticed that several of the design guidelines actually have examples of what would be, what would work and what would not work. And so if you notice at the bottom of this, I said examples of commercial design that would not be allowed in the district. And then we want to put pictures of McDonald's and Taco Bell and stuff like that here.
I do have some comments about the guidelines.
Yeah, go ahead and start on that.
Comments, very minor. I would change introduction to policy, tighten up the language, get rid of that but, because we're the authority and this is the policy, we don't want a but.
Did I put a but in here?
Yeah, but's in here.
Well, that's an academic but.
Now look, I had a couple of points, and I think they're pretty important. And the best thing for me to do, given the fact that I'm not running on all cylinders, is to walk through my notes and we'll end up discussing everything. So, the comments I'm going to make actually cover three or four points. The three or four points, I think, some of which are very significant. Rather than summarize them here at the beginning, we'll uncover them as I walk through it, which is the best way for me to handle my sinus infection tonight. And I'll start with what I think is a good point. I think we should add some additional provisions that I'd like to borrow from another town's zoning ordinance, and I think you'll find that they work pretty well. For example, this town, under special use, under the zoning ordinance, under their zoning regulations that dealt with special use permits, has the following standards, which I think, with a little tweaking, can fit very nicely into the design guidelines and help us. See, let me make another second point right here. You have to put yourself in the shoes of an applicant. When that applicant comes forward for a COA, Certificate of Acceptance, it's a quasi-judicial hearing. And we could spend an hour tonight talking about that, but here's the bottom line. They have to prove with material, competent, and substantial evidence that they comply with the requirements. So you have to back up and ask yourself, if you were an applicant, what evidence would you put on with respect to these guidelines? And what I'm getting at here, and I only read them through quickly, I haven't formed an opinion about this, but one thing I want you all to think about when you're reviewing these guidelines is if they are too soft and fuzzy, how does that impact the applicant's legal requirement to put forth evidence showing that he's met his burden of proof in complying with these things. If they're too fuzzy, that may present a challenge for that applicant. But some things that I think would help, and again, I'm going to use, you'll hear the word special use because I'm reading from that section of another jurisdiction's zoning ordinance, but some of them I thought were pretty interesting. One thing I think we need to include is that the special use, or again, the historic district action has to meet all required conditions and specifications under the zoning ordinance. It's a catch-all. It doesn't really have anything to do with design, but in every other application set of standards, they always, subdivisions, you have to meet all the zoning requirements. Special use, you have to meet all the other zoning requirements. So I think we should throw that in. The special use, or let's call it the historic district action, will not substantially injure the value of adjoining, abutting, or adjacent properties within the historic district. The location and character of the historic use, proposed development, will be harmonious with the area, with the other properties within the district. The requested historic use action will not be injurious to the permitted uses and enjoyment of other properties in the historic district. And there's several more, but I think adding some provisions along those lines would be helpful. So keep that in mind. Looking at the guidelines that are in front of you, and again, I agree with the chairman that modifying the Department of Interior's guidelines is a smart way to proceed. But here's the issue I have with several of these in their current form. In our previous discussions, we have pretty much agreed that council does not, and for good reason, council does not want to put a lid on property development. And we have gone so far as to envision the possibility, as long as they're consistent with the culture and the feel and the association and all that kind of stuff, three-story multifamily housing, replacing some of these small condos. Yep. If we see that as a distinct possibility, if we feel that that's going to be council's policy, then how does that square with several of these guidelines? Number two, all efforts should be made that the historic character of a property shall be retained and preserved. If I own a small one-bedroom cottage and I want to turn it into a three-story multifamily housing, am I retaining and preserving the historic character of that property? I see that as a potential issue. Go down to number six. The new feature shall match the old in design, color, texture, and other visual quality. That's probably okay. Number seven, new additions, exterior alterations, related new construction shall not destroy historic materials that characterize the property. Well, if you're going to tear something down and put something up, I think that you're destroying the historic material. The new work shall be differentiated from the old and shall be compatible with the massing, size, scale. If you're going to replace a one-bedroom cottage with a three-story multifamily unit, I don't think you're being compatible with the size and scale of the historic integrity of that property.
If I can just jump in very quickly, the first seven that you're going through right now actually are somewhat verbatim from the...
Sure.
The Secretary of Interior.
Sure, we've dealt with historic land laws.
Exactly, right. So I thought those, okay, now I certainly understand what you're saying. Once you hit eight, that's where I start to add, you know, recognizing that there would be some additional, more grandiose type of development.
Yeah, my point is I like one through seven, but somehow we've got to figure out how to draft it to allow for the development we all know is going to happen.
Right.
Because right now, under these guidelines, that development we all know is going to happen is not allowed in certain, if you read some of these 1 through 7 in a certain way.
Well, 14 would.
So I came into this late. So I just, you started on this back in March. I wasn't part of this. And when I was reading these guidelines, I was thinking that that was your goal, Craig, when you were first talking about that, that you did not want three-story multifamily units in the historic district. I mean, just
no,
that one section of town would be restricted from that kind of building.
The council, the council in the discussions was, I think, fairly clear that they didn't want certain things in kind of the pier area. You know, we didn't want to knock down commercial type of things and have a just simply a residential thing put there. And so you can see that one of my things talks about on K Avenue between these type of areas had to be mixed. That was one thing. The second thing is that the council recognized that people will want to maximize the value out of their particular properties. And so they will probably knock down one-story things and build up. What we need to do is make sure that what's built up fits within the character of what we're trying to preserve. So they can have a three-story thing, but it shouldn't be all glass or all metal or that type of thing. The third thing that we heard was that they didn't want franchise McDonald's drive-through type of things. And so what we're trying to do is manage that within the language of what we're doing here. I don't think anybody, and it was not my intention either, and I don't think that's the council's intention. Maybe, Joe can talk about that a little bit. It's not to restrict development, but make sure what is developed fits within what we're trying to preserve here. Okay. And maybe you can help us.
I think that's entirely it. We know that people are going to want to buy these lots and perhaps tear down what's existing, but we want to hopefully maintain a certain feel and vibe that's currently there. We're not going to tell them what they cannot severely do or can do, but just hopefully they'll play along and go with the guidelines that are established.
So if somebody comes along and takes Bud and Joe's and the parking lot and wants to put in a Carolina Beach type where Cork and Fork is?
Well, don't forget, you can deny the application.
Yeah, but I mean, are we saying
that's commercial right there, so.
Well, it'd be commercial on the first floor, yeah. And then it would be condos above. It's a modern structure.
I mean, that's going to be up to Mike. We changed the development line for that purpose so he could build a larger structure there.
But not over three, still on 35 foot.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm still saying.
It's changed so that he could do that.
And under these guidelines, they could do that.
I'm trying to think, how would you take something like that and preserve the historical character? I mean, other than making them use wood and their exterior would be look like Bud and Joe's versus like it does in Carolina Beach.
Well, you're not going to the all glass, all metal type
modern
structure.
Modern type of look. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I think Bud and Joe's will be knocked down someday.
Yeah.
And probably put up a three story there. But what we want to make sure is not what's not put up there is simply a big condo. That the first floor is going to be commercial. The second floor, if they want to do that as condos, that would be fine. But the look would still, it wouldn't be glass or metal or that sort of thing. I mean,
anything's not down there, you're going to end up with a large restaurant.
Yeah.
Outside seating and everything. I don't think there's going to be a residential structure there.
That's what happened to Riceville Beach. Riceville Beach, they went their little downtown area there. They knocked it down. They just put up condos.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, number 14 says that, if we went with that would be not allowed anyway.
Right.
It has to be commercial.
And if somebody does want to put a restaurant there, it's got to look or have the feel of that 1940s to 70s type of.
But getting back to our topic, you agree that several of the references in 1 through 7 need to be revised to allow for that projected development? Because again, it seems to, some of these guidelines seem to restrict that possibility, we just discussed. Yeah.
No, number 5 would totally kill that idea.
Yeah, no, I think 1 through 7 would have to be reworded to allow that, because I think no matter how much maybe some of us should feel like, we want to maintain the cottages, I don't think that would fly with the council, and I think there would be a lot of pushback.
Well,
Let me get to my final point, and then I'll turn it back over to you all. And I could be wrong on this. I'm not that familiar yet with the town, because I just drive down Dow Avenue and come to Town Hall.
At 45 miles an hour, now, too.
Is that the change?
Unfortunately. Not envisioned by our neighbors.
Carolina Beach.
But it's 55 on ours.
But anyway.
We still need to go 45 miles an hour.
And they have two policemen out there now giving tickets.
Yeah.
Not just one, they have two now doing it. Anyway, sorry.
Let us digress.
When I walked through the proposed historic district one time, seemed to me that there were a lot of residential buildings. I'm trying to get my, not near the ocean, but on the other side of the district, where the Methodist Church is, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at the Methodist Church, right behind me is the westward boundary line of the district. In other words, the house is on the other side of the street or in the district, is that correct? If the Methodist Church is in front of me, I think I'm talking L Avenue, I'm not sure.
Right.
So you're talking about east, like...
You all know the church I'm talking about?
The Methodist Church on 3rd Avenue, across from the community.
Across from the...
Right.
From the
that's in. That's within the district.
3rd Avenue.
Across the street is not.
I'm at the ocean. I'm walking on the northern line of the district. What avenue is that? I'm coming back up to...
The northern...
LBJ.
J? Yeah.
K.
L or J. That's
not a sudden.
L. K-L-M-N, and then the road's in.
Because we only go one block in either direction.
Yeah,
around K.
Well, here's my question. Do we have residential properties in the proposed historic district?
Yes.
But the district underlying, I thought the district that we were dealing with was the B1 district.
Yes.
Does the B1 district therefore have residential properties?
Several, many.
Yes.
What is B1? What are the allowable uses for B1? Here's my point. If it's commercial use, and I own a lot that's got three lots next to me that are one-bedroom cottages and three lots to my other side which are one-bedroom cottages, and I want to put a commercial use right smack dab where my property is. I think that upsets the integrity of the district. So do we have that potential? Does B1 allow residential use, or are the residential uses non-conformities within the commercial district?
I have to look at it. In fact, I read all of Chapter 15
right
today,
now,
but I think they're both allowed.
It doesn't say residential, so I imagine
you're looking at B1?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Oh, John's here. Good.
Speak up.
What does B1 allow?
The non-conforming uses simply spells out that in any district, if you have a residential building, you can tear that residential building down and build you a brand new residential building as long as it conforms to the RA-1A district requirements.
So in B1, if I tear down a residential, I have to put a residential that conforms to RA and R1 in its place, even though I'm in a commercial district?
You don't have to, but you can.
Well, the flip side of that is I could tear down a residential use and put a commercial use.
That's correct.
So I think that's an important consideration if you're talking about a historic district. It didn't occur to me until I went through the guidelines. If I'm on that street that's got all those residential lots, and somebody wants to put a fast food joint that doesn't have a drive-thru but has a walk-up window right smack dab in the middle of it, how does that impact your cultural and your feel and your family-friendly feeling?
I can say what the problem is. The problem is that the B1 district, when it was originally established, didn't really constitute a true business district. What they would have should have been is they should have separated into a residential district and a business district, but we don't have that. So if you look at downtown Wilmington, the commercial district is a separate district than the historic properties of that are residential on Second Avenue and that sort of thing. We don't have that. So we're working with this hybrid type of mix of commercial and residential within one particular district.
And we're here.
I don't know if we can do anything about that right now, to be honest.
I don't specifically have an issue with that, to be honest. It is the business district, and if somebody's going to have a business, it needs to be in that district. And if somebody's got a house next to it, then they're non-conforming, not the business.
As long as they make it look like a 1940s to
70s. As long as they make it like a 1940s to 1970s.
Or feel, you know, have a nice feel to it. Yeah, right. That fits within the character.
I don't.
That's going to be okay.
It's one of the interesting issues related to zoning when zoning was set up here many, many, many years ago. Is that we have districts that we call business or residential. We also have some ones that are called residential that actually do allow a fair number of businesses in it too.
That's another question. Are we going to allow home occupations within the residential uses within the historic district? If not, then that's another thing we need to
say that again.
In your residential district, you can have a home occupation within a residential use.
Right,
is
right.
That correct? Are we going to allow that same thing within the historic district?
It's already allowed already allowed in the B1 district.
Yes.
Well, in fact, it says home occupations as defined, and then it, you know, the definition. So home occupations are already allowed within the B1 district.
Have you got the zoning?
I have it pulled up, right here.
Can you read what B, right at the beginning, what B1 contemplates the uses as?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of them.
Well, not the...
The purpose.
Oh, the purpose. The B1 district is established as a centrally located commercial area for Curie Beach. Its purpose is to create and maintain a town center as an attractive gathering place for both residents and visitors, while providing a small-scale commercial setting that helps existing businesses expand and prosper, and new businesses to invest. By encouraging street-level businesses near the waterfront with pedestrian accessibility, this commercial district is designed to be a local center for all town residents and tourist-related businesses.
I wonder why they drew the line westward to include those residential lots.
They're just intermingled. There's no line.
Well, when I get to that, whatever the damn street is, it's got the church on it. The length and that.
Because on the other side of that block is a restaurant, Big Daddy's.
You've got Big Daddy's.
Then you got a bunch of residential right next to Big Daddy's.
Let me explain what I think the problem is here, and I mentioned this a couple years ago. Most cities, when they do zoning lines, they don't do it street by street. Okay, they can actually do a zoning line down the middle of a block. So on one side, say on the commercial side, would be a commercial, and on the other side would be residential. We didn't do that. Curie Beach has its zoning lines down the middle of the streets, which means that we have on that particular block that you're talking about commercial on Fort Fisher, but the B1 district also includes the residential houses that are behind Fort Fisher. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
We almost got 14 or so residents in the
Yeah, yeah, 14, I mean.
Do you want to see this?
No, I want to get this map up.
We got about 14 residents or so that live in the business district.
See, a lot of, when you look at the district, the map.
There it is.
Okay.
So.
All those little small lots are residents.
Right.
So all of the, there's a.
That's no.
Okay.
A lot of this is residential.
It's all residential.
No. You got Big Daddy's there, and you got.
That's true. Yeah. You got Big Daddy's, right?
No, that's not. Yeah, that's Big Daddy's on the back.
Yeah, the Big Daddy's is the big one.
Big Daddy's
right there.
Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Those are individual.
That's
yeah.
The community center.
No, that's a parking lot. The next community center.
That's community center.
And then.
Those are residents.
just don't know why, I guess Big Daddy's does extend to that line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes the whole block.
Why they did that.
Because a lot of towns would draw the B1 coming down the middle of the block. Yeah, like that, right. And then on one side you'd have residential, and then on the other side commercial. But Big Daddy's, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Now that I look at it.
So I'm not pushing an agenda. I'm just pointing out some of the issues that I came up with when I read the design guidelines.
I think the way it is, I agree with you that the way it is right now, this is a B1 district, and the dominance has to be given to people that if they want to put business, if someone wants to put a business on that residential side, it probably wouldn't be successful. But
well, the good news is it limits the 3-story multifamily. I mean,
well, and somebody can't knock down a business and put a residence up either, which is an important aspect. We could.
You can knock down a residential and put a residential or a business back up, but you can't knock down a business and put a residential.
Because it's non-conforming, according to John.
So that would encourage this to be business. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I'll turn it back to you. Those are the points that I make. I think we need to tweak 1-7. And I think we need to add some of the special use standards that I've read.
Right. And I personally would like to have John look at this very carefully, because John's really the expert on language related to this sort of thing. You know, the idea of a preliminary set of design guidelines like we're talking about, I think everybody recognizes that ideally we could spend $30,000 and have 20 pages of design guidelines that would be much more specific. But I think what this would do is provide a lot of guidance to anybody who may want to come in, and it would restrict people from doing the blatantly bad things that we don't want to happen, you know, within the community right now as kind of a stopgap period for maybe a couple of years.
Well, I've raised certain issues. I'd be curious if any of the members have any comments about the same. I mean, I'd like to know where we're going to go with these guidelines. Are they sufficient as they are? Do you want changes and pick them back up next month?
Well, I'd like to point out that the words should be are used in several places. And should be, is a little too soft. And when I was reading that, it made me wonder, are these guidelines going to be enforceable? Who enforces them? And how do you enforce something that should be?
They're not enforcement regulations. I want to put a use. I have a historic district property. I want to do X, Y, and Z to that. I come in front of this commission and I put on evidence in support of my application that my proposed use complies with these guidelines. That's how these guidelines.
And then a COA is then issued based on that.
If the board agrees, I get my certificate of appropriateness and I can go build my use. If the board denies, then I'm going to go to the Board of Adjustment and appeal that decision.
So, for example, we have a commercial signage on buildings should be exterior lit and not interior lit.
Yeah, I think shall is a good fit sometimes.
Because if somebody comes in and has interior lit, well, how do we say, oh, well, we can't approve this because you don't, it's not exterior lit. Sorry. And they can turn back and say, well, it just says it should be. It doesn't say it must be.
No, I think
you know what I'm saying?
That's fine.
I had another question on 12. What is normal scale? How do you define normal?
Right. That was another question of mine.
That I took this from some other ordinance, and that's the term that they used.
Normal in the terms of 1940 through 70 architecture. That's what I would say.
Well, it's normal scale.
Yeah.
What is a normal scale?
Yeah. When you look at 1-7, we could throw those out. I think number 8 is what we're really trying to achieve. New additions should look like buildings, not to be modern design, and start there. From what I'm hearing, that's what we're trying to achieve in this. If somebody buys Bud and Joe's and Robinson puts up in there, they can put a first floor business commercial above it, but it can't look like that,
you know, the glassy type,
that big mansion on
the hotel
on, yeah, on down there. But that is that's the essence of what we're trying to achieve, right?
I think there's important elements in 1 through 7. I think your point's well taken, but I think 1 through 7 needs to be tweaked and kept.
Okay.
How
can number 8 be number 1?
Well, maybe.
I mean, that's, you know, that is, to me, once again, that's
kind of the essence.
Yeah, what we're trying to do.
I don't have a problem with any of these guidelines. I think 1 through 7 is a very useful ordering of the guidelines in a proper place because it introduces the general concepts of being conforming with the culture, feel, and association of the district. I just think that 1 through 7 has several examples that tie future development down to the scale of what's currently there, and that needs to be corrected. Otherwise, I don't have a problem with 1 through 7.
Okay.
I agree with you that 8 through 15, you know, I have very few comments because I think that is more specific and exactly where we want to go. As a matter of fact, I didn't have any comments other than the points that I discussed and which you all fully discussed as well. So those points,
yeah,
I don't have any problems with that. I do think Kathleen's comment about plugging in shall where necessary needs to be done. So look, I think there's some minor tweaks that need to be done here. What are those tweaks? Number one, I think we need to make sure we're not tied down in 1 through 7 to the scale that's currently there because of projected development. Number two, I think we should plug in shall where appropriate. Number three, this is a little bit out of order, change introduction to policy and just clean up that language a little bit. And then number four, I do think some of the special use standards that I read through about harmonious with the feeling of the district and all that kind of stuff should be included as well. So we're not talking about much change at all, and I can make those changes if you all want. Where does the guidelines fit in on the timeline? I forget.
Well, they have.
I think that
put a public
hearing. If we have a clean, now these are substantial changes, unlike what we were doing before. So I don't think we'd make a motion to adopt subject to these changes. So if this comes back to us in January, the guidelines don't go to P&Z, do they?
No, you all are the...
Right. So that would keep us on schedule, I think.
Okay.
Because what we want to have is the guidelines and the historic district designation occurring at the same time. Yeah. That's the key thing.
All right.
Yeah, so we can do a stitch in time and do the guidelines.
Right. I think we got an extra month to talk about the guidelines. Because I think it's very important that John looks at these and gives us his feedback. And, you know, when I was writing these things, I was actually Googling modern-looking stuff and trying to see what we don't want to have here and tried to write these things in such a way that, you know, we just don't want to have these type of things.
I thought you really captured things very well, 8 through 15. I like 1 through 7. I just think we need to avoid the trap that's in there.
On number 8, one other suggestion is after, on the second line, the and not to be modern design. Is that really needed, since we're just saying?
No, I think if you were, which you will, if you're sitting up there and somebody comes in front of you with a plan, I think that, and depending on what that plan is, you could very well reach the conclusion that, no, that's, for example, that green and that all glass house.
Yeah.
If somebody comes in and presents that to you, I think it's quite possible you could conclude, no, that's too modern.
Oh, okay.
And I think you properly pointed it out that these are guidelines. In fact, that's what we're calling. They're guidelines. They're not statutory.
Well, they are and they aren't. They're guidelines. But again, somebody's got to come in with evidence that will hold up in court showing that they met the guidelines.
So in a sense, they are standards.
And the word modern actually is an architectural term, as I learned when I was doing this. That, you know, there's a whole bunch of, like, if you Google modern architecture, modernist architecture, they come up with, you know, a number of different things that are underneath that. So, you know, that seems to be a term.
Well, I wonder if, you know, what we ought to do. One of the things I would look at is double check for a definition, and if there was a precise definition that works, we could say, for purposes of this provision, modern is defined and shall be construed to mean.
I would like to see the changes 1 through 4 that you discussed or those things and brought back to John Batson and us for the next meeting to review and discuss again.
That's a big point too. John needs to look at those.
How about if I make the revisions? If we're going to change some of this, do you want John to look at these or version 2?
I might suggest you make your changes first.
And then
before maybe a week before our next meeting, if you could send it to John to look at so we can have a good conversation and hopefully adopt something in our January meeting.
That's fine. Do we have a consensus about the changes that I summarized, the four groups?
The four groups I think are appropriate.
Okay.
Kathleen?
Okay, yeah. Kathleen? Okay, all right, yeah.
Thank you, appreciate that.
And we don't need a motion for that, do we? Yeah. Okay, all right, very good.
Good discussion.
I want to thank everybody. I mean, we're making good progress on this after
thank you
working on this for 9 months. It's like we're down to the nearing the end.
Thank you for taking the first big step and putting together a document for us to discuss.
Thanks.
Ditto.
Straw man documents. So, okay. Any new business? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn the...
So moved.
Okay. Second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Are you going to head out? The next one should be like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm starting to get it. Okay.